we have an enemy. How many of you understand that we have an enemy? And I think that it's critical that we become aware, keenly aware, that we have an enemy. Amen. There's a saying it's pretty popular right now that goes, life is lifing. And so I notice that when most people are using this saying, they are attributing it to some type of distress going on in their lives. How you doing, man? Man, life is life. And it's quickly become one of my, I didn't like it 3 weeks ago, but I really like the saying now, right? And so every now and again, you catch me saying it. In fact, yesterday I was, while on the phone with a good friend of mine, I was telling him about how crazy the last 2 months of my life had been. And I summed it all up with the phrase, man, life just be lifing. And after getting off the phone, the Holy Spirit began to deal with me on the strength of that phrase that I had used when I said life has just been lifing. The Spirit of the Lord said, nothing just happens. Nothing just happens. And so no matter what it is that you're going, that's going on in your life, the minute that you begin to believe that we are simply living life on life's terms, you have not just lost the battle, beloved, you have lost the war. In fact, let me take it deeper. The moment you begin to believe that we are simply living life on life's terms, you immediately become a casualty of war. The Bible teaches us that as Christians, we are in the world, but not of the world. Let's deal with that. When we read the world, the word world in the New Testament, we are reading the Greek word cosmos. Cosmos most often refers to the inhabited earth and the people who live on the earth, which functions apart from God. Satan is the ruler of this cosmos. By the simple definition that the word world refers to a world system or a worldly system ruled by Satan, and we can more readily appreciate God's claims that believers are no longer of the world. I'm refreshed to know that. I would never want to come out of all that I had been into and be in righteousness, but still be considered the world. Amen. We are no longer ruled by sin, nor are we bound by the principles of the world. In addition, we are being changed into the image of Christ, causing our interest in the things of the world to become less and less as we mature in Christ. Believers in Jesus Christ are simply in the world, physically present, but not of it, not part of its values. As believers, we should set apart from the world. This is the meaning of being holy and living a holy and righteous life, is to be set apart. We are not to engage in the sinful activities the world promotes, nor are we to retain the corrupt mind that the world creates. Rather, we are to conform ourselves and our minds to that of Jesus Christ. And this ought to be a daily activity. This ought to be a commitment. We must also understand that in the world, that being in the world but not of it, it's necessary if we are to be a light to those who are in spiritual darkness. We are to live in such a way that those outside the faith see our good deeds and our manner and know that there is something different about us. Everywhere we go, folks should one of two things: either connect with the spirit that is within us, or be able to tell that we're different. And that difference about us, I want you to catch this, will always attract the demonic. And not because they think you the bomb, but because the kingdom of darkness understands that if you are truly consecrated unto the Lord, if you are truly sold out to him, then you will be a force that has the ability to train others to be like you. Yeah, that's what we're supposed to be doing, training others to be like us, which is like who? Like Christ. That's right, amen. And when that happens, watch this, when we begin to train people to be like us, like Christ, when that begins to happen, generational curses will be broken. Yokes will be destroyed, and the captives will be set free. And your bloodline, watch this, your bloodline will go from victims to victors. And Satan can't have that. So as a consequence of you just thinking about being holy, he has assigned demons and demonic energy to your life. So this explains why, since you've been just coming to church, you've seen more mess than a little bit. In fact, the Bible blesses those of us that have been holding up the bloodstained banner of Christ in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 14. And it says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." Verse number 14, "If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified." Now, I want to share these same verses with you from the Message Bible. And it says, "Friends, when life gets really difficult, don't jump to the conclusion that God isn't on the job. Instead, be glad that you are in the very thick of what Christ experienced. This is a spiritual refining process with glory just around the corner. If you are abused because of Christ, count yourself fortunate. It's the Spirit of God and his glory in you that brought you to the notice of others." Lord, have mercy. And I promise, I'm almost done. I love how Eugene Peterson
translates the first piece of scripture in 12 through 13. Friends, when life gets really difficult, don't jump to the conclusion that God isn't on the job. See, this is what the enemy wants you to think, that God isn't with you, that God isn't on the job. Because the enemy understands that if he can get you to believe that God isn't on his job concerning you, that you will be operating from a place of hopelessness. How many of you in here are real enough to admit that there have been some times in your life that required you to trust God when you couldn't trace God, and as a consequence, you just felt hopeless? Anybody real enough to tell the truth about that? But then you had to remember that God promised that he would never leave you nor forsake you. See, when you begin to believe that God isn't on his job concerning you, it sets you up for a spirit of hopelessness, and then the spirit of hopelessness causes you to become desperate, and desperation breeds vulnerability. And this is when the enemy really begins to strike, when you're hopeless, when you're desperate, when you're vulnerable. In fact, the Bible puts it like this in 1 Peter 5, verses 8 through 9. Be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And then he goes on to say, resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Peter says, be watchful. And let me tell you something. It's when you're down and depressed and broken is when you have to be the most watchful, because the enemy would love to set you up for the kill shot. Beloved, I need you to understand that Satan never wastes an opportunity. He does not waste opportunities. He is constantly ready, aim, and on fire. So he would love to set you up with this kill shot. So you have to be watchful, especially when you're vulnerable. I don't know about nobody else up in here, but some of my greatest mess ups have happened when I was vulnerable. There are some things that went down that was never supposed to go down, but I was vulnerable. There are some things that I said yes to when I most definitely should have said no to, but I was vulnerable. In wildlife, when an animal has been badly hurt or injured, they will go and find a place where other animals won't be able to find them, because that injured animal understands that if the other animals find him vulnerable, most likely they're going to kill him and eat him. As humans, when we find ourselves broken, we need to return back to God, where there is safety, where there is healing, and where there's restoration. But as humans, what we tend to do is, when things are going crazy, when you don't see the light in the tunnel, at the end of the tunnel, we decide to try to manufacture some feel good. So you'll be all up in the club on Facebook Live talking about you living your best life, knowing you're broken in 1,000 pieces. And the lion can smell somebody that's vulnerable. And the lion knows all the right things to speak to your pain. And the lion can sense that you're wounded. And for him, this will be an easy kill. How many of us are real enough to admit that there are some people in your life that would have never got the time of day, let alone what God calls sacred, but they got you because you was vulnerable. They got you because you was vulnerable. So here's what I want you to get. Everything isn't life-lifing. Not everything. But the enemy would love for you to believe that this is just life-lifing. The enemy, because you see, something that was said in a movie called The Devil's Advocate, one of the things the devil said, he said, my greatest trick is convincing the world that I don't exist. So as one of my spiritual heroes, Vody Bachman, said, so when a kid rides down the street and he shoots out of the window of his car and kills 3 to 4 people, they say, well, you know his daddy was in prison all his life. And when we talk about the young lady that's promiscuous, we say things like, well, you know her mother was on drugs and she had men running in and out the house. That's all she saw, so that's all she know, right? So when we're walking down the street and we step into somebody's grass, a little old lady's grass, and the little old lady steps up and cusses you out, and we say, well, she's just old and senile and she's earned her right to be able to do that. And the problem with all of those excuses is it gives us no room to witness. If it's just because daddy was in jail all his life, then we don't need to talk about sin. If it was just that she saw mama with various men all the time while she was growing up, then we don't really need to talk about redemption. We don't need to talk about, we don't need to witness to her, because she's really not the problem. It's really the fact that what her mama done and didn't do. When the little old lady cusses us out as we're walking accidentally on her grass, we say because she's old, you know, we don't need to witness to her. But the reality is we have got to stop making everything but sin. It ain't always ADHD. You understand what I'm saying to you? It's not always depression. Do you understand where I'm coming from? It really didn't have anything to do with what she saw her mama doing, because as she grew older, she knew right from wrong. So we have a sin problem. You understand what I'm saying to you? We have an enemy. We have an enemy that is looking to destroy you. And the moment that you fail to acknowledge that will be the moment you be devoured. Now, I want to go back to my first verses. 1 Peter. Am I waiting on you? Oh, okay. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 14. Ashley is running with all her might. Amen. Oh, don't fall on them steps, girl. Mess with my insurance. So, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. Let's deal with it. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened to you. You gave your life to Jesus. You picked a side. And you told the other side that you was no longer with them. What made you think that you wasn't going to have some drama? Did you really think that after all of the work you put in for Satan, and we done all put some work in for Satan, after all the work you done put in for Satan, that you could just up and say, I know I'm one of your prized possessions. I know I'm one of your generals in this demonic army, but I'm out. And watch this. Can I bless somebody here today? Some of us was in this thing with the enemy so ruthlessly, so deep, that not only the Satan ain't just mad that you leaving,
He's mad because you leave it and you're taking secrets. Woo. See, when you come out of the belly of hell and you decide that you're not going to serve Satan anymore, you don't just leave, but you leave with information. You leave with secrets. You leave with confidential components that you can sit back and talk to somebody who might be on the brink of joining Satan's team, and you can say some things that you could only have learned because you was in the belly. And so get over yourself. Satan ain't just after you because you all that, but he does understand the information that you contain, that if you release that information into the masses, all of a sudden there begins to be multiple body blows to the kingdom of darkness. Oh, Lord. Yeah, so find it not strange. What you ought to find strange is when you ain't going through it. When you're not going through it, that's when you ought to be checking yourself. Because if you're not being tried, it really might mean that you're on the wrong team. Watch this. And we have mastered coming to church on the wrong team. We have mastered ministry on the wrong team. So if you're not waking up, excuse me, every day with a brand new mercy, Lord have mercy, and 2 or 3 days go along and you ain't got no brand new revelation, you might want to check where you are. You might not be where you think you are. Amen. And so, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. The trials are only doing what they're supposed to do, try you. Watch this. But just because it tries me doesn't mean that it can have me. That's why I can try. I remember, I don't know why, y'all pray for me, but I'm going to say it anyway. I remember watching Cheech and Chong up in smoke one time, and the police was knocking on the window of the car, and he says, I hear you knocking, but you can't come in. You can try. Amen, Pastor, but you ain't got no authority. Amen. I promise I'm saved. It says, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings. I think it's Philippians chapter 3, verse number 11. It says that the Apostle Paul says, I want to fellowship with his sufferings. See, too many people aspired or signed up for Christianity under the thought process or the thinking that once they got saved, everything was going to be smooth. Everything was going to be everything. But the reality was that, you know, Jesus didn't have it like that. So why would we? Why should we? Amen. And so he says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. I want to rock with that from the Message Bible in 14 through 16. It says, if you are abused because of Christ, count yourself fortunate. It's the Spirit of God and his glory in you that brought you to the notice of others. Let's break this down. Let's have an understanding. There is testing, there are trials, and there is consequence. And one of the biggest problems in the 21st century Westernized church is we keep misunderstanding consequence and calling it a trial. You understand what I'm saying to you? We be on the wrong side of it, and be saying stuff like, yes, Satan is tempting me or trying me. No, he isn't. You are conceding to Satan. And it will never work out no matter how hard you try. Let me put this to you real plain. If you are a disciple of Christ, if you are a child of the living God, and you are doing it, and you're saying that, you're claiming it, you're professing that, but you're living contrary to the word, I promise you it won't ever work out. I really want you to get this. Huh? None of it. No part of it. You understand what I'm saying to you? I don't believe you do. None of it will work out. This is why we tell people, we date with intention. You hear me say it a million times. I'm going to continue to say it too. We date for a reason. We don't date because we ain't got nothing to do. We don't date because, I just wanted to hang out. He or she seemed fun. No. We date with intention. Because if you don't date with intention, you'll mess around and date illegally. Now, here's the problem. But we gonna get married. but what you've already added to your marriage, if you do this the wrong way, is hell on top of hell on top of hell on top of hell. So you could be best friends while you was courting. And I got kids in here. You could be best friends while you courting and sexing and then get married and everything just blow up. And you trying to figure out what's going on. We was just perfect. You see what I'm saying to you? It will not work out. In fact, I want to say this to all the single people. How many single people I got here? Raise your hand. If you ain't married, you're single. Amen. Some of you put a hand up. Now listen. When I say if you ain't married, you're single, I'm not knocking you. I'm not dissing you. I want you to catch that. But we're talking about biblically single that Paul was talking about, right? All right, so here's the deal. How many of my single women want to fall in love, be married, and live happily ever after? Let me see your hands and keep them up. Put it up, AT&T, don't be. Okay, all right. So can I give you some advice? Can I give you some advice? Keep your legs closed. What's that got to do with it? I want you to catch this. Because if they love you, they should love you enough to wait. My spiritual mother once told me this. She said, if they love you, they shouldn't want to send you to hell. You understand what I'm saying to you? Now, here's the problem. Here's the problem with this. That would be easy for single people to do, right? Men and women. If they had faith. If you had faith. It would be a lot easier to do. I'm not saying every now and then you ain't gonna get hot and bothered and be feeling some type of way. I ain't saying that ain't gonna happen. You're a whole human. That's possible. But what I'm saying to you is that when we do things that are contrary to the will of God, it's because we don't trust the word of God. Does that make sense? So why do we, knowing what we shouldn't do, do what we shouldn't do anyway? For two reasons. One, lack of faith. How do you connect that to lack of faith, Pastor? Because if you had faith, then you could wait. If you had faith, right? If you had faith, you could wait. But can I take it deeper? But if you didn't have such a low thought process of yourself, you could wait. Woo!
See, when you say something like, if you love me, then you'll wait, then all of a sudden you get nervous because now you're getting ready to find out what your worth is to that person. Do they feel like you're worth waiting for? And you got to love yourself enough and love God enough to where if they can't wait, you got to let them roll. I promise you, you will not, okay, this is getting ready to get real. I promise you, you will not be able to sex them into shape. It didn't work with the last four before you. What make you think you're going to come along and then all of a sudden, you know, and now all of a sudden they ready to give you the world. They ready to, it didn't work with the last four. It ain't going to work with you. So what do? We trust God. We trust God to bring us who we're supposed to have. We trust God. We ready ourselves for when God sends us our mate, we're ready for it. Single people, let me tell you something. What you should be doing now is training. It's training and preparing yourself for when you are married. Get rid of your baggage before you get married. Huh? Get rid of your bitterness before you get married. Get rid of your mistrust before you get married. Heal up from some of those relationships that left you broke down on the side of the road before you get in a relationship. Give yourself some time to say, what do I like? Who am I? How messed up am I for real? Because the reality is, I'm continuously getting played in the manner of how I'm going about things. If you don't do it God's way, it won't work, beloved. God's taking too long. Never that. He just know what you're ready for. Some of you want a Benz, but you can only afford unleaded gas. You might want it, but you ain't ready for it. You see what I'm saying? All right, take me back. We're almost done, I promise. I wanted to hit something else real quick I saw. I want to show y'all. We're going to be out. Y'all going to make the lunch special again. Y'all say, what's going on with Pastor and all this fast preaching? You ain't got to drill the truth. It should just be accepted. Right? Verses 14 through 16 says in the Message Bible, if you are abused because of Christ, count yourself fortunate. So let me ask you something. How many of you in here have been abused because of Jesus? Okay. Abused because of Jesus. So in other words, your stance on Jesus cause some turmoil. Amen. Guess what the Bible said? Get excited about that. If you kept the bloodstained banner despite what all was coming against you and up and around you, hey, and it caused you some pain, some anguish, some, you understand what I'm saying to you? Get excited about that. It means that you didn't fold, break, or compromise. That's what God's looking for in his army. People that will not fold, break, or compromise. Folk that can't just be lured off. We got this dog. We got this daggone dog. And he you training him and getting him together and all that. And then all of a sudden, butterfly. There's a butterfly. You're just barking and going to save everybody in the house. Butterfly. We got to get focused on this stuff, man. And if you are abused for Christ, count yourself fortunate. It is the Spirit of God. Get this. I love this right here. It is the Spirit of God and his glory in you that brought you to the notice of others. In other words, some of y'all are trying to figure out why people don't like you. It ain't really got nothing to do with you. It's got to do with who's in you. You understand? Now, don't everybody trip clap because some of y'all just trip. I'm just playing. Talk to the men. Men, you ever get out of church and be like, no more sin for me? And then it seemed like all of a sudden everybody finds you sexy? Baby, it's the glory in you that they sense. You understand what I'm saying to you? And you got to be careful, because if you're a true man of God, watch this, then the ones that's finding you sexy was probably sent. It's probably a setup. You understand what I'm saying to you? You know, she tell you smell good 3 times in a day. Don't worry, at cologne tomorrow. Run. The lion is seeking somebody to devour. Amen. Yeah. Think about how this is so powerful, that you can have so much of God in you, right, that it draws the attention of others. And you got to guard that. All right, here we go, and we're out. In 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9, be sober-minded, be watchful. I love how Peter writes this, okay? He says, your adversary, then he tells you who your adversary is, the devil. Notice it says, your adversary. It doesn't say Pastor Lyons' adversary. It doesn't say Miko's adversary. It doesn't say, you know, John's adversary. It says yours. So in other words, whoever picks up this book and read it, you need to understand, I'm talking to you, your adversary, the devil. Here's what we got to stop doing. My spiritual mother asked me one day, she said, what is it about your Holy Ghost that demons are comfortable around you? So be sober-minded. Don't be thinking you all that. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Now get this. This is deep. Now, I just caught this on you. It says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And then get the next thing it says is resist him. So hold on. Why would you be telling me to resist someone that's coming to devour me? Maybe Paul was saying, some of you, oh Lord, have mercy. Some of you are not making it hard for the enemy to devour you. Some of you are falling for some of the traps that the enemy is setting. If that wasn't so, it wouldn't say resist him. The writer is telling us to resist the one that you just told us wants to devour us. You ain't got to tell me that unless I'm with him. Now, I got a question for you today. How many of you are with your devourer right now? Hanging out with your demonic attack. Lord, have mercy. Let me ask that again. How many of you are hanging out with your demonic attack? It's Kevin, stand up, please. Kevin's the attack, and I'm the one he's trying to attack, but he don't even got to look for me because I'm right here with him. My attack got me over here smoking weed. My attack got me over here getting drunk. So what Paul is saying is, listen, I need you to disconnect from the lion. When, watch this. Wait right there. Come to me. What's up, lion? That's what church folk is doing. What's up, lion? What's up, alcohol? What's up, weed? What's up, lust? Ooh. What's up? The Bible said resist him. Not be at one with it. Resist him. So we're making it easy for the enemy. And single people, I don't want you to think I was just picking on you, because married folk need to get it together too. Huh? I mean, not me, I'm pretty perfect, but she'll tell you. No, I'm just playing. Married people got to get it together too. Some, everybody married ain't happy. Huh? Lord have mercy. Everybody married ain't happy. A lot of people married for the moment. And the minute that moment was over, you sit around talking about what I done got myself into. Huh? This is a real thing. That's why you have to have faith that what God has for you is for you. You got to know that. You got to know that. So, here's the challenge, and I'm out. Here's the challenge. Acknowledge what you should be resisting and stop lying to yourself about it. Whether it be a person, whether it be a habit, whatever it be, acknowledge it and begin to resist it as you should. Amen? Stand to your feet. Let me get you out of here. Eve never should have been talking to the serpent. Just like you ain't supposed to be cool with the lion. You hear me? Heavenly Father, we come here today and we thank you. We thank you because you are an awesome and a faithful and a keeping and a loving God. Father, we thank you that you have given us the discernment to be able to see the lion way before he gets up on us. Father, you have given us instruction on what to do with the lion. Resist him. Do not take him on. Do not be bait for your own capture. Lord, have mercy. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I ask that you touch every soul that is in this building. God, and I ask you to meet them where they are and bless them with what they need. That not so much just what they want, but what they need. Father, I come up against the spirit of depression in this building right now. I come up against the spirit of confusion in this building right now. Lord, I ask that you make crooked paths straight. Keep us mindful that we should acknowledge you in all of our ways, and in return, you will acknowledge our paths. We don't even have to worry about deciding where to go. We just got to decide to follow you. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I just
I pray for this ministry. I pray for every soul that is in this building today. I speak, decree, declare supernatural victory over your lives. And we give you all the honor and the praise. And Father, right now, I want to pray for our tithes and offerings as they come forth after this prayer. God, we ask that you use those tithes and offerings to build the kingdom up, to expand the kingdom, to do great things for your name's sake. And we give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Can I get one of the ushers to come down?